We have been studying the Lord Jesus Christ because the more you know Him, the more you'll what? Love Him. You can't help but learn about who Jesus is, especially as a Christian, and not love Him more. So the more you know Him, the more you what? Love Him. And I believe the more you love someone, the more you're going to want to serve them. So the more you know Him, the more you love Him, the more you love Him, the more you'll what? Serve Him. Serve Him. Isn't that really the genesis of your service to God should be out of a heart of love? I think so. How many of you go by the name that is written on your birth certificate? Melissa does. How many of you, I should have went that the other way. How many of you do not go by a nickname? Right? Still have never figured out how, well, your name's not William, but I still understand how you can get Bill from William, right? You're Billy Ray, though, right? So I know there's a couple Abbeys over here. Do you go by Abigail now or Abby? Abby still, right? But is Abigail on your birth certificate? Same here? Any other Abbeys or Abigails? All right. So a lot of people go by a lot of different names. People call me Pastor. That's not even my name. But I like it, right? That's more of a title. So sometimes people are called by titles. If you go to see somebody in a white lab coat who's looking down your throat with a little stick, hopefully you'll call them doctor, right? There's different titles that we have, but not just working titles. You have, every one of us have titles that we go by. For some, it may be dad, might be son, might be daughter, might be mom, but we all have titles that reflect who we are. And so you can have a name, you can have titles, you can have multiple names, but it's all referring to the same person. Matter of fact, you can have several titles. You might be a son, a husband, a father, and still be a doctor. And they all represent some different facet of your life. Some of you now are monikering or have the moniker freshman. Some of you have been a freshman for a long time. But it just gives a point of reference of worldview. Now, we've looked at several different names and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ over the last several weeks now. We have looked at the name Lord, or excuse me, the title Lord. And in that, we looked at the different I am statements. Anybody just, there's seven I am statements found there in the book of John. Does anybody know? Can we count them down? I've got them written down so I didn't have to memorize them. Certainly somebody knows one of them. This is a Bible study, so it's not just me preaching. All right, 14:6, right? John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Six more, we'll count that as one. You don't get credit for three on that one. All right, anybody think of another one? Doc? I'm the door, right? John chapter 10. The vine, I think that's 11. The bread. The good shepherd, that's right next to the door. Yes, sir? The resurrection and the life. Oh, I didn't even have that one written down, but that's good. That's exactly right. In Revelation, right? That's excellent. That's excellent. So, there is one more. I am the light of the world. So in all those I am statements, Christ was making a claim to deity. This is saying, I am the Lord, the same as the Jehovah in the Old Testament, the same Jesus in the New Testament. So then we looked at the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. What's the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament Messiah? Anybody know? Was it the Christ, right? So when we see Jesus Christ, we could almost say it this way, the Lord Jesus, the Christ. And we looked at prophecy. We looked at how that, statistically speaking, it is a statistical, not just improbability, but an impossibility that one man could fulfill all of the prophecies that Jesus filled in his lifetime. I think we came up with something like 351 or 357 different prophecies that Jesus alone fulfilled. And just incredible. And so we looked at Messiah. We didn't really spend a lot of time, but made a reference or in passing about the name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? Anybody know? Yes, save. It means Savior, okay? His name shall be Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. It's the equivalent of the Old Testament word Joshua. So we have then the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the I am statements. We looked at the prophecies. We want to get to know not just about the Lord. We want to get to know the Lord through this. And so as we looked at the I am statements, we could see different aspects of who Jesus is. And we spent a whole night just talking about the good shepherd. And we praise God that we have a good shepherd who is good all the time. Tonight I want to look at something that I don't think we're going to get through tonight. If you're a regular here, that doesn't surprise most of you. I think it's something that brings a lot of confusion to a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. We all sometimes have preconceived ideas of what some things are, and so when we hear something, we say, well, I don't really understand that, but I just accept it because it's used so often, and we just go on with our life without really ever taking time to figure out what does it mean. Jesus uses a phrase to describe himself over 80 times in the New Testament. And I think if I ask 80 different people what he's referring to, we might just get 80 different answers. But don't you think that if the Lord uses a phrase to describe himself that many times, we ought to take some time to investigate exactly what it means? And we've spent a whole night talking about Lord, owner, ruler, master. We spent a night talking about Messiah, the Christ, the fulfillment of prophecy, showing the deity of Jesus Christ through that. But tonight, for just a little while, I want to look at the phrase, the Son of Man. The Son of Man. How many of you have read that in your Bible before? Yeah, if you've read your Bible, you've read it. If you spend any time in Ezekiel, Ezekiel uses it over 90 times in his book that God inspired through his hand. That's a lot. Most of those are what I would call indirect references to himself. By the way, that's exactly how Jesus uses it as well. But that's not, I don't believe, the genesis or the origin of that phrase. Why would Jesus use that phrase, Son of Man? Anybody have any ideas? Yes, I think we're going to get to that later. I don't think. Eventually we'll get to that. But absolutely, the Son of Man is focusing much on the incarnation, being here, God in flesh. But I don't think that's necessarily the primary reason why he uses that. Yeah? Well, the truth of the matter is he is not one of the sons of Adam because he was born of a virgin. That's a great point. It would make you think that, right? That's why I think there's so much confusion about the Son of Man. Because people say, well, listen, if he's born of a virgin, how can he be called the Son of Man? Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? It does. That's why I wanted to spend a little bit of time studying it tonight. All right, so anybody else have any ideas? Why does he call himself the Son of Man? Yes, Doc? Yes. I think that's engrafted right into what Brother Hanke was saying, that it's the man certainly talking about the sacrifice that he had to come in the human flesh. I want you to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7 for just a moment. Daniel chapter 7. Look at verse 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7. I'll give you a minute to find it. He's called a major prophet because he's very important. No, that's not why. Daniel chapter 7, if you're in Ezekiel, keep heading east. All right. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 says, I saw in the night visions. Who's saying I? Who's speaking here? Is it an angel? Is it Pharaoh? Who's speaking here? It's Daniel. Daniel's speaking, all right? So I just want to let you in on who's talking here. Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. All right, so here we see this phrase, Son of Man, used. Daniel's having a vision. He's not just taking a nap. He's not just eating something and couldn't get to sleep, and he's having these daydreams or night dreams. He's having a vision, or what we would call a revelation from God. Now, I'll tell you this. We don't have these anymore. You may talk to somebody who thinks they've had one, but the scripture has been completed. The Bible is done. It is perfect for what we need for life and godliness. So because of that, we don't need to have visions. We don't need to have dreams. We have the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what God has already given to us. So if somebody starts telling you, I had a dream and I saw, the Son of Man, it came with the clouds of heaven, you say, well, I don't know what you thought you saw. But I can tell you, Scripture is clear. But in Daniel's day, that is how oftentimes God would reveal himself. Rather than the revelation of God's word, he would give the revelation of a vision dealing directly with man. Now, most of us would say, that would be so great. Wouldn't that be interesting? I want to ask you just a couple of questions. First of all, you'd be probably terrified. That's not really a question. I'm just telling you that. Second of all, how many of you have ever read a book that's missing the last three chapters? And you're just left wondering, how did that book ever end? Can I tell you, that's how most of the prophets felt? They were writing things that they really didn't understand, or would come to a place that had no conclusion to the matter. Now, we get the conclusion because we have it all together. So, I don't know necessarily that you'd really want to experience a vision. I'm not saying that anywhere in Scripture it says these men were frustrated, but I know how it is not to know how the rest of the story finishes. But he says, I saw night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Who's that referring to? Who's the Ancient of Days? I'll give you a hint. It's capitalized. You say, well, is that a proper name? Well, it's a proper person. So who is it? It's God. So the Son of Man is coming to the Ancient of Days. The Son of Man is coming to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom. Now let's just stop right there for a second. I'm not doing a lot of exegesis on this, but I want to make the point that is there ever a time in God's eschatology or in his eschatological plan that mankind is given a kingdom? Is man ever given a kingdom? We will help rule a kingdom, but whose kingdom is it? It's Christ. Right? So even in the millennium, we don't get a kingdom. So regardless of what some cults may say, you don't get your own planet. You don't become the ruler of your own universe. You are a servant in the kingdom of the great God of heaven. Okay? So make sure you understand that. So if there is a Son of Man, remember, this is a prophecy. Daniel's looking forward to the annals of time, not back or not presently. He's looking forward at someone who is going to be presented to the Ancient of Days, and that he is going to be given a kingdom. Who spent most of their ministry talking about the kingdom of heaven? Now, this is not rocket science. I'm not really trying to ask you trick questions. What I am trying to do is walk you down this train of thought to say that Daniel had a vision about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the moniker that he gave the Messiah? The Son of Man. Right? So he says that this Son of Man is going to be presented to the Ancient of Days, and he's going to receive a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So when we look at this vision of the one that is like the Son of Man who comes with the clouds and is in the presence of the Ancient of Days, he's going to have a universal and eternal kingdom. It should come to no surprise then that Jesus uses that moniker in reference to himself. Of the some 83 times that it's used in the New Testament, it's used, I think I lost where that was. Excuse me, it's used in 83 times just in the Synoptic Gospels. He uses it over and over and over again in different parts of his preaching, in different parts of his ministry. And I believe that as we look at this idea of the Son of Man, it is a messianic moniker. So when he calls himself the Son of Man, just as he is saying, I am, he is making a reference to his own deity. So those cults that say Jesus Christ never calls himself God, I want you to know every time he says that I am the Son of Man, he is saying, I am the prophesied one. I am the Messiah. That's a powerful statement. I'll be honest with you, before I studied this out, I never came to grips with that. Certainly it points towards his humanity and the fact that he's going to suffer and there has to be a sacrifice, but primarily it is proclamation of his divinity and his authority then to be able to preach and teach what God has given him. I'm going to give you just a couple of verses. You can write these down or you can look them up later. But Matthew 16:27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. The Son of Man is referring, or Jesus is referring to himself. Matthew 19:28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Do you understand? As he talks about the Son of Man, he is referencing the kingdom again, and it takes you right back to Daniel. You shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew 24:30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man according, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 25:31, Matthew 26:64, all referencing Jesus talking about sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven, just as it did in Daniel. Clearly, Jesus understood this passage as a prophetic portrayal of his own person, and he used it as such. Here's the stats that I was looking for earlier. In the Gospels, Son of Man is used 32 times in the book of Matthew, 14 times in the book of Mark, 26 times in Luke, and John uses it 10 times. That's staggering. That's staggering, over 80 times. One of the reasons I believe he used this phrase is not only to make that link to the prophecy of Daniel, but it allows him to speak on subjects that may not be as readily received if he were to use the personal pronoun I. I'll give you an example. We just have been teaching through 1 Timothy. And if I'm completely transparent, I just squirm when I have to preach on the qualifications of a pastor. It's in the Bible. I want to preach it. I want people to understand. But I don't feel comfortable getting up here and saying, I am this or I am that. most of the time, I probably wouldn't fulfill it 1,000% in every aspect, right? So if I said something like this, the pastor has to be blameless. I'm speaking even about myself because I'm a pastor, but I'm almost speaking of myself in the third person. And what I have to give you then is received maybe with a little more grace than if I were to say, this is what I am setting myself up as the standard. Now, we know that Jesus is God and he is the standard, but talking to humans, he is still referencing himself in the third person. He's able to talk about the kingdom. It's more easily received by those who are listening because maybe they're not ready to receive him as Savior yet, but he is priming them so they understand who he is. It's a great literary technique to be able to preach hard truths about the coming Messiah without necessarily proclaiming himself and his greatness. Now, the term occurs four other times in the New Testament. In Acts 7, Hebrews chapter 2, and then you can go to the Old Testament, Revelation 1:13 and Revelation 14:14. But in the Synoptic Gospels, the first three Gospels, that theme in Jesus' what I would call self-revelation as he's telling people who he is, using that title, Son of Man, it really concerns his coming to earth to accomplish his messianic mission. So you have a messianic moniker that leads into a messianic mission. I think we're going to stop there. I know it's a little early, but I want to have some time to pray tonight. And I think if I get started on this, we're not going to have any time to pray. So sometimes it's just better to stop early. Hopefully leaving you wanting more. And we'll pick it up, Lord willing, next week.